Blog Talk Radio.
Hi guys.
Hi everybody.
This is Mary. God.
Sorry, Mary, I didn't know you were there. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi everyone. This is Mary calling in from Pennsylvania, Delaware County, on our fourth episode of New Homeschool. Before I introduce anyone or we get started, I'm just going to read a little excerpt here from Dwayne the Great Writer. Anything is possible and incredibly a whole lot more than what can be experienced here on this planet Earth. You and almost everyone is still in their old routines from past lives that keep holding you here. If this is what you want, you keep deciding consciously and mostly unconsciously that you want to continue on into more unconscious lifetimes of the same old routines as now. While you are living here, you can also learn to see beyond everything you have ever known that is self-restricting and start to experience the real side life is that is not seen by most. There is no need for any concern, as all of your self-convincing self-restrictions will stay with you for as long as you want them. There is a real wake-up with the whole of life that is beyond all the love and happiness you have ever known, and there is also a real adventure and the greatest challenge ever that is available for all. But you must be the real risk-taker to see what I'm referring to. Those who stay with their old routines will blindly go into more unaware lifetimes of even worse conditions on this planet Earth than now. You and you, the real you, can have a new life if you are willing to be free from all your self-restrictions. You always decide your life. With that being said, we're going to have Kitty Amata on today. She's a witness to the efforts of Sharon Brown and her fight with the SB 277. A part-time comrade, Kitty Amata is still facing the vaccine agenda. Feeling like the narrative needed to be rewritten, she coined the term vaccine abolition. She has vaccine abolitionists Facebook page for all that are interested, and continues her endeavor to help others become more aware of the reality of vaccines. Hi, Kitty. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Mary.
Oh,
yeah,
hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
that was a great
clear
intro.
Thanks so much for coming on today.
Hey, thanks for inviting me. That was a great intro. I think especially with the beginning of the new year, I actually just did a tarot card reading recently, yesterday for myself, and it's just, there's so many things to just sort of remember, you know, how we're in charge of our own lives. So that was a good, I like that. That was a good reading. Thank you.
Dwayne the Great Writer wrote it, and they're all in the new books, too. You can get them at
any
time.
Yeah, you know, I need to check that out. You just sent me the link, I think, yesterday or 2 days ago. I haven't checked it out yet, but I will.
But you definitely checked out a whole lot of everything about vaccines.
Yes, for sure.
How did you get down the rabbit hole?
Well, my daughter had a diagnosis right before her second birthday. So she's 9.5 years old now. And I tell you, it was just a different time period. I actually went to the library and checked out a stack of books. I wasn't even using the internet as a research tool at that time. I mean, other people were. I wasn't there yet. This was 7 years ago. I just sort of decided, like, I don't want to vaccinate her anymore. I think that it's bad. I don't really know that much, but I'm just not going to. I don't feel good about it. But I think the real impetus for myself and a lot of people was the measles hoax of Disneyland. Because all of a sudden, all of us sort of got outed as these horrible people. I think that people weren't vaccinating, and there wasn't a pro-vax, anti-vax camp at the time. People were quietly not vaccinating their kids, and it wasn't that big of a deal. But when the Disneyland measles hoax, I really do think it was a hoax. That's why I refer to it as such. When that happened, then people really came out of the woodwork, and people who didn't vaccinate all of a sudden felt compelled to have, they had to defend themselves online. And that's when myself and other people, when we started to educate ourselves, you know, to defend ourselves online. and to really understand why vaccines aren't good and not just not do it because you had a bad feeling about it.
Right.
And
yeah.
So, yeah, it's good. I'm so glad it happened because I learned a lot. Like, I'm very strong in my decision to not vaccinate. Natural immunity is key. And the more you learn, the more you realize the history of it all. Like, it never, there's been anti-vaccinators since vaccines existed. Like, in the history, we've been totally lied about how vaccines have been effective when they haven't been, and that people have always been on board when they haven't been. So it's been really good to learn the history and try to wake people up. And that has been the hardest part of all of this, is trying to wake people up, because a lot of people don't want to hear it, unfortunately. They want to keep vaccinating, and they want to think that vaccines are great.
Yeah, and I think that we're all fine with that. If you want to keep vaccinating, I mean, that's what we're sitting here doing, letting people know that they're poison and it's actually a fallacy and they never cured anything ever.
Exactly.
And it's a huge money-making profit for business and
totally.
To hurt your children at the end of the day. And you know what? If you want to vaccinate, by all means, do so. But for those that are unvaccinating or not vaccinating or, you know, just educated enough to realize that you're just injecting poison into a very healthy child and an infant who's not even building antibodies in the first place, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. Like, you know, we're not spreading disease. You're not giving anyone disease. You're literally saving your children. And there's so many people talking about it. And I'm so happy that you're here as another individual who's recognizing just how terrible it is to people. Is there any special health remedies that you use with your daughter now that you're not using vaccines or food-wise?
I have been using silica and horsetail root.
Oh, tell us more.
And also, they're supposed to naturally draw aluminum out of the system, because what happened, and I'm not sure if you are familiar with the Dr. Tent video. It was pretty famous one. And I would encourage anyone to watch it online. I can't remember the name of it, Dr. Tent. If you just YouTube Dr. Tent vaccines.
His Tent,
it's a very famous,
T-E-N-T.
Yeah, it's a very famous video. He does a really a great talk where he breaks down the history of the vaccines and exactly why it's bad and all the politics behind it. And great video, and I actually wrote him. I was like, I live in Brazil, by the way, and I wrote him, I'm here in Brazil, and I would like, I don't know if you do Skype appointments, and he does. So at the very beginning, I had my daughter on a protocol that was first for parasites to rule that out, and I don't think that she had any. It didn't seem that she presented with that, and then with other herbs to sort of pull out the heavy metals. Because I did a hair test on her, and she had a lot of aluminum in her system. And that was a concern for me. So we were doing this protocol, and now I've switched it to silica and horsetail. Horsetail is another form of silica. And just, you know, good diet. We don't take any pharmaceuticals at all. And she unschools right now, but when she was in school about a year ago at a Waldorf school, her teacher remarked that she was the healthiest of all the kids in her school because she was the only one not taking drugs. So you have all these other kids who every time they get sick would take antibiotics, and now they're taking – I've seen her classmates. They take antibiotics all the time, and they're always sick. And she's not. She doesn't get sick, really. She gets tummy aches sometimes, but she doesn't get sick. And I think that's because we're not, her and me do not, and I don't get sick either, and it's because we're not. First of all, we live in Brazil where it's hot all year long, so we don't get cold.
I'm jealous.
yeah, we have vitamin D every day. It's lovely. It's good stuff. So that's been great that we've been this healthy, and also we don't eat processed foods, and we're eating well. And I think that helps a lot as well.
Did you want to talk about maybe what happened with your daughter and what side effects she had and what maybe happened with the luminal detox protocols that you were using and how that benefited her?
Well, so what happened is she had the MMR at 18 months, but unlike some stories, it wasn't an immediate thing where, like, the next day or that day I noticed something different, but it was something that I noticed that she was regressing, that she didn't have that many words to begin with, and that what she had sort of lost, and then all of a sudden she was freaking out and really uncomfortable around kids who she'd already played with. So it took a long time, and then I had her tested, and then that was hard. She got the results back of testing positive for being autistic, but we did the test before she was 2 years old. So one of the parts of the test, and this test is supposed to be gold standard, was that they had this fake birthday cake, and she's supposed to sing happy birthday and blow out the candles. That was the desired reaction when the birthday cake comes out. But she wasn't even two yet, and we're not going to birthday parties all the time, so you can't really expect her to do that at that age.
Mm-hmm.
So when we came to Brazil about 6 months later, no one gave her that diagnosis. So, you know, I think they might be quick to put people on the spectrum in the U.S. more so than they are here in Brazil. But still, I was really careful, and she'd been to speech therapy, and we did this therapy here that's pretty popular in the state where I live in Brazil, the state of Bahia, and the therapy is called Padovan, and it's sort
Can you
of
spell it?
It has a Padovan, and it has a connection to Pilates and to Waldorf. And it's a neurological reprogramming, because at her Waldorf school, it was recommended. And I did see a difference. She didn't really seem to be that much in her body. She seemed to be a little bit loosey-goosey if she wanted to dance. It was a little bit spastic. And it was pretty amazing that after she started doing this, that the bike that she had been given a gift, like, and that she had for years, she finally started riding it, and at her school they had noticed that her coordination got much better. And now, I mean, her coordination's great. I saw her in her circus class, and she was able to do trapeze and all this other stuff that, to be honest, I don't even know that I could do. You know, I mean, I see the way she climbs trees and the other things she does, and I'm like, she can climb up a pole, and I don't think I can do that. I haven't tried. So I think that
awesome.
Really helped her. Yeah. So because we live in, like, in the middle of the forest, so she's climbing trees and she's doing all this, like, kid stuff. That it's great, and I think that's really helped. I think it's really helped being here as well. If we spend a lot of time in the city, I think it's too much for me and also for her. I think she gets a little bit agitated with too much sugar and too much city life. The fact that we live in the middle of the forest, I think, is really been a benefit for calming and being chill and manageable.
Yeah, well, there's not so much Wi-Fi radiation and going on every street corner, every store, and every house, I would guess.
Yeah.
In the forest.
And also, I have really nice light bulbs in the house, like not those harsh ones. You know, I have non-LED lights. We don't have a TV. She doesn't have a tablet. She watches. I allow her to watch maybe about an hour worth of videos a month, maybe 2 hours, depends. Not that much, though. And so it's great in not being able to just be in front of a TV and do the stuff that other kids do. She plays lots of music, and she dances, and she climbs trees, and she designs, and she reads books. So it's been really nice. I think that's helped her a lot.
Yeah, that's amazing. Is this where you were able to do all this now because she is in unschooling, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Because her Waldorf school is kind of over. Yeah.
Yeah, so the Waldorf school was very structured, I'm going to guess.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I'm sure, you know, with the testing that they had and everything that they had, there was a lot of benefit. What made you decide to homeschool or unschool homeschool? What do you think the difference is? Why don't you tell everybody what the difference is?
Well, first off, okay, so as far as her Waldorf school, it's like, I don't know how it is in other parts of the world, but here it was like, pay what you want. And then, so people weren't paying, and the schools and dire financial problems. And so now it doesn't even exist at her grade anymore. Now it's just kindergarten. So she was going to have to leave anyways. And so I took that opportunity because here it's either like, without this Waldorf school, it was either to put her in the public school. And public school here isn't like in the U.S. It's really, I'm just not a fan of it. I mean, they teach sex ed to six-year-olds here. No, absolutely not.
Right.
And then I didn't like the private school. Besides being too expensive, it was like kind of just snobby, and I didn't like that as well. And it's actually a private school that... it's an English private school, but the people there don't even speak English, really. So I'm like, no way. It's going to ruin her English if she goes there. I speak to her in English. Like, she doesn't need that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I always sort of wanted to homeschool her. So I thought, this is the perfect opportunity. I'll do it now. Kind of wanted to do it later, but I'll do it now. And then unschooling just sort of happened. It was really a flash decision to just like, okay, I'm going to homeschool her right now. And we started with a little bit more structure, and then it just became less structured. And I've liked it because she's really learned a lot in this year without actually doing that much studying, just because on her own she does the things that interest her. And her drawing is amazing. I mean, people are just amazed at how well she draws cartoons and stuff. And I think she has a real talent there. And that's what she does. She spends hours a day just drawing and reading, and it's all this good stuff. And then I make her sit down and do math and do some other stuff that she doesn't like writing. But it's not that much of her day. There's not structure to it like that. It's just, okay, today, okay, do the math, okay? And if you get, if you do really well on your math, then you can maybe watch 30 minutes of video. And so that's sort of how I've structured it right now. We're still really new into it, and I have to say, it reminds me of just her in general getting the diagnosis and always just being worried when she was younger, like, oh, she walked when she was like 15 and a half months old. It's like, oh, I hope she learns to walk soon. And just being worried every step of the way about her development. And now mm-hmm. I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't need to be worried. Like, time has already showed me that she's going to get there when she gets there. So stop being worried about dumb stuff. Do you know? And so
yeah.
That's part of it as well. And she is. It's like she has learned so much in 1 year, and she's basically taught herself how to read in English and Portuguese. And she reads really well in Portuguese. And it's like all that reading of books to her has really paid off, because when she does read out loud, she does it with all the inflections and everything, you know? She reads really well.
Yeah.
You know, when you're telling a story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but and she's picked up English really well, and it's just so amazing how much kids can just learn on their own if you just allow them to.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of that thing in defense of homeschool and unschooling of, wow, I mean, if we would think that our kids would only learn how to walk if they learned that at school. You know, if we put kids at school at age one, we would think, oh, no, kids can only learn to walk at school. We wouldn't think that we were capable of being present for that and maybe helping them with that. And so I think that's the same thing with homeschooling and unschooling. Like, we don't need to have a teacher do that. And I'm mm-hmm. teaching her things that, things that just observations of every day, like, hey, you know, you need to try speaking from your stomach and projecting your voice. You're not speaking very loud. Like, little things that I'm sure a teacher wouldn't be telling her to do. And
she gets a lot of one-on-one time, too. Like, I mean, there isn't, you know, multiple other children
mm-hmm.
preventing, and there isn't something that's, like, forcing her to learn something. She's doing it because she wants to do it. What happens in that, because a lot of people might say or complain or, you know, no homeschool or unschool period because the kids, you know, they're not socializing. How's that aspect
right.
been?
Well, it's that has been a little bit hard, but she's going to start doing an art class starting next week, because right now it's summer right now in Brazil, so there's been a summer break, so all the kids are sort of out of their school routines. But mm-hmm. she has, yeah, I mean, her and me both actually spend too much time at home, and I would like to see her socialize more, but she was doing capoeira, which is a Brazilian martial art, and she was doing that with kids, but she didn't like it, but she was involved with kids, and then she was doing circus class and didn't like it, and so now we're going to do art class and hopefully ballet soon. So there are instances where she is hanging out with other kids. Also in our village, which is really cute, is that when we go there, there's a little plaza, and it's just like if there are kids there, and then she just, like, hey, you want to play? And they just are running around climbing trees. It's great, and she can play with kids she's just met. And it really is a different culture than what I've seen in the U.S. because she sort of was trying to do that when we went back to the U.S. with kids from where I'm from the city, from Oakland, California, and they're just like, oh, what are you doing? Like, mm-hmm. they didn't want to, like, run around.
They're very conditioned.
Yeah, really, more docile. It really does feel like the 1970s here. It's really nice that kids are just kids. And they can just run around and have their weird tag games that they create, and you don't even know what they're doing, but they're happy and they're running around. And you're like, okay, and they're playing. And they make friendships so easily. So for now, it's amazing and it's great, and I have to keep my eye on how I want it to progress, you know, as she gets older. Especially for me, because we live in Brazil, and my Portuguese is great, but it's, like, not perfect. And so when the time comes, I do want to actually enlist a teacher to help her with her Portuguese so that it's all written and spoken perfectly, because I can correct her up to a certain point.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the fact that you have all these options and that, you know, you're allowing her to excel in what she is going to excel in. And she seems she sounds like a wonderful kid.
I'm
super jealous that I can't grow up in the forest.
Yeah, it's also she loves to cook, and she cooks every day, and I just let her. She's like, I'm going to make a muffin, and she'll just make it. It's like solid and stuff, but it's actually she's making stuff that tastes pretty good, and that's another thing. It's like, okay, let's make some muffins, and if you want to, she wants to have a restaurant one day. I'm like, okay, so let's start. We'll have a little muffin thing. We'll sell it at the market, and we'll add it. And it can be like here we go. We add up all of the math of what it cost, and let's see how much it costs per muffin, and how much we're going to sell it for, and then at the end we'll see how much we made. And that also being a lesson, because I'm so excited for her to be independent and understand these things. Because I was babysitting at age 12, and I had my first paycheck at age 15. And so, and kids these days, it's not the same thing, but I think that that was so important to me, more so than school, was to just be working and understand what the value of money and to show up on time and to be responsible.
Yeah, I mean, it's super unfortunate that, I'm in the U.S., I'm in Pennsylvania, and even when you talk to the kids, they don't know what they want. You know, they don't know what they want to do. They're never asked what they want to do. They go to school, and this is including my daughter.
Yeah.
She's still in public school. We're working on it. Actually, I wanted to throw that out there, that we have the new homeschool, and it is a great place for your daughter to meet new kids. I didn't know if you were asking her about her dreams. Does she talk about her dreams or any of her real side experiences?
You mean dreams of what she wants to do in the future or just general dreams?
Dreams, like when you, I mean, they're great too, but when you go to sleep. So does she talk about any of her experiences
she does tell
when
me
she
sometimes.
Wakes up?
Yeah, she does. Usually if it's just a bad dream.
This is why we sing the new song. So the new song is new you. And now you can give your daughter that song. So, before she sleeps, it will help her open up more of her dreamscapes, but it will also help protect her when she's in her dreams. So if she's having some kind of nightmare, if there's somebody bothering her, she can actually sing the new song and they'll either like reveal themselves or go away because it's a very high vibration. So they are, poking around the wrong tree and they'll just go away. And, you know, maybe she'll have more experiences in the future, about all sorts of things and just letting her explore, that part of her that all exists in all of us and just happens naturally is basically, you know, what the new homeschool is doing with the new kids. My daughter and my son, they both sing the new song, and there's been some, and they don't always have their real side. They're not always dreaming, but when they do, they'll tell me their stories, and it comes into play. One was very specific for my daughter and my son. They had a similar dream. Remember it all at this moment, but basically my son was like sick. He wasn't doing so good at all. And they both had a similar dream, and I had listened to their dreams, and I'm still working on understanding the real side and the dream state and, you know, looking at it objectively, because there's lots of information there that helps protect ourselves here in the survival earth camp that we're living in. Medicines or foods that we could be implementing with our kids that would help them feel better. And it was basically in the dream that they both had a similar dream to was showing me, that my son really needed to like detox from all the terrible foods that are here. So like the chicken nuggets that he loves and,
the
crackers
and
the
same day,
the sugar. Well, it wasn't the same day, but they were very close together. So one, my son came and told me about his dream with the doctor and the fish and his feet were chopped off. And then my my daughter the following day, maybe, right, came and was like, Mom, and then started telling me. And it was very important that I needed to know so much that they remembered specifically their dream to tell me so that I could ask my new friends like Kelsey and Val and Dwayne and Eric and Henry, more about maybe what was happening on that real side. So that's really what we're doing. We're really paying attention to what's real and trying to make sense. And that's what you're doing there with your child in the physical world. And there's a lot to us. We're multidimensional, and you see they're using, non-LED lighting and, you're letting your daughter experiment and you're not vaccinating. I mean, these are all really important physical topics to work on.
And even this Padovan therapy that she did, she just told me recently that every time she went in there to do it, the woman, and this is so frustrating to me, the woman would have her use that antibacterial gel on her hands before they started. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you putting this toxic stuff on my kids' hands? It's just, so there is sort of I do think that in the U.S. there's people understand more about these things, like, oh, that's kind of garbage. Don't use that antibacterial gel on your hands or don't vaccinate. And here there's more of an acceptance for these things. And yes, as far as the dreams go, it has really been more like, I think, more like family stuff, because her father still lives in the U.S. and so it's more stuff like that, which is its own thing. You know, it's hard as a single parent, and ideally it would be optimum for her to have a mother and a father under the same roof, and she really wants brothers and sisters. But we have what we have, and it's, for me, it's been such a gift that I work from home, that I can homeschool her and give her this life where where we live is, it's amazing. And sometimes she complains because she wishes that we were like, could do rich people stuff, like go eat at restaurants and stuff. But I think in the future she's going to really appreciate it more than she does now,
Yeah. Yeah, she'll see. I mean, well, we all see, and we don't leave here with money. We don't leave here with anything. We'll leave here with our awareness and the experience that we've had here and many, many lives before. I I have Miss Sandy here. She's the president of New Homeschool. I think there are some other callers that may have some questions for you.
Okay.
Sandy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Sandy.
Hi. What you're doing in Brazil there with your daughter, I think, is wonderful. I'm from the older generation. I will be 72 soon. And I wish that homeschooling, I had known about it when my children were small. I was lucky to grow up in a home where it was just my grandmother, my mother, and myself. But my grandmother grew everything in the garden, and and she froze things so we'd have it round season. I'm from Wisconsin, so it gets cold up here. Nothing grows in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And I remember my grandmother made about 20 loaves of bread a week. And she went to the store one day and bought some Wonder Bread. And she ended up throwing it away. She said, this stuff is made out of paste, you know.
It is.
And so I didn't have to deal with a lot of, artificial foods and everything. My grandmother basically walked to the store every day. She came from a farm, and she actually had a racehorse for a pet. And one of her jobs when she was 8 years old was to ride her horse bareback to all the farmers around the area, and she would have to do the percentage of the milk that the cows produced and also the cream. And so she ended up being very good in math. She did everything in her head. That wouldn't have happened had she gone to a school like we did and the kids nowadays. She had some very, very good ideas about eating and about nutrition and about what is good for you. So that is really good, and I'm jealous of your weather, by the way.
yeah.
I love the warm weather. I lived in Naples, Florida for about 17 years, so I really miss it. The nice sunshine. I think the homeschooling is actually, to me, the way to go or your unschooling, because the children are so much better. I know, even though my children went to school, we lived in the country, so they were bused, but I took all the TV away. They didn't have TV. I thought it was not good for them. And
smart.
I would give them, they had art projects every day. If it was summer, we walked down to the marsh, and we collected things like rocks and different dried flowers. And if they found a dead butterfly or something, that went into the box. We had a little shoebox we put stuff in on our little trips, and milkweed and whatever they found, the stick that was particularly attractive. And then we'd come home and we'd make a collage. And we raised dogs. I raised Chesapeake Bay Retrievers and German Shepherds. And we also, each year, we raised my husband, is my ex-husband now, but at the time we bought baby pheasants, we bought baby mallards, we bought baby turkeys, and we bought baby quail. And we raised these to let go in the wild. And I always remember my son, when he was little, he got so excited when the baby chicks would arrive, and he would take his big yellow Tonka dump truck and load them in there, and he'd take them for a ride.
Cute.
So to this day, he likes wildlife and the country and all the good things and the dogs, and so he got some good stuff. My kids, although they got some vaccines, most of the stuff they got was from playing with the neighborhood kids. I made sure if the neighbor kid's kid had the measles or the chicken pox that they kind of played together and get that out of the way, you know.
That's the best if you can do that. It's hard.
Yep.
I think everyone now with the chicken pox vaccine, you don't see kids with chicken pox anymore. the one kid in the neighborhood who had it, I wanted her to play with him, but he went to bed early, and then by the next day, I don't think he was contagious anymore, so she didn't get it.
Yeah,
and that's because catching the measles and chickenpox when you're younger really strengthens your immune system. It's as far down the rabbit holes you want to get with all this, is it's really kind of by design to ruin our health. It's like these diseases don't kill you. They actually make you stronger, but it can make you weaker if you never get them. And it's the same thing with the chicken pox. It's like if your kid gets a chicken pox and you get another sort of, you're next to it or you're exposed to it as an adult, which means later in life you probably won't get shingles. But now that we're missing this, people, who knows? I actually had a friend in her 40s who got shingles because she was exposed to the shedded vaccine from her daughter. And that's rare. It used to be that adults in their 40s didn't get shingles, and now they think it's more of a problem because of the vaccine and because kids aren't getting chickenpox naturally.
Yeah, as far as that shingles vaccine goes, I've heard some really nasty things about it. I ended up getting it when I lived in Naples, Florida, and I worked at a hotel in the advertising department, and I ended up getting it while I worked there. And although I was pretty sick, I'm glad I got it that way and didn't and never took the vaccine. I know.
Good.
One of my cousins had called one day and said his doctor, because he's had a lot of heart problems and a lot of surgeries, heart surgeries, wanted him to take it, and he called me, and I said, "Don't you dare take it.
Yeah.
You don't need it."
Yeah, and this is what's really been so bad about vaccines, and no one even questions. Every year you hear about how many people die from the flu.
That's
no
right.
One died from the flu when I was younger. That wasn't a thing you heard about on the news. This is because of the vaccine, but they do that to scare you to get the vaccine. And
yeah, it's a big money.
Oh yeah, I mean they make money off of it. I mean, years ago the industry was worth $25 billion. It's probably worth more now. I haven't done the research recently, but. And it's not only do they make money off of the vaccine, but they also make money off the fact that you're going to be sicker, and you'll probably stay sicker. So you'll be then you're going to be buying the Sudafed or whatever it is you need to buy to try to get better because you're sick. It's a tool. It's a tool that they use to make everyone sick and to call
even my mother. So doctor-oriented, and I took care of her for a while and took her off a lot of stuff, and she actually did really well. She lived to 96, so it makes a difference. You know, years ago they tried to get it in your head that doctors were God. They can do anything. They can cure this and they can cure that, but you never heard of the nasty outcome of a lot of that. That they were giving
because
you.
They're actually just pharma reps. They don't even know. And I mean, I saw most doctors have maybe 4 pages in their textbook about vaccines, and it's just that vaccines, you know, the standard narrative that vaccines save lives, and this is the schedule that you should be using to give vaccines, and then that's it. And so they don't even know. And so then the whole thing is like, well, why should I? You just have Google, and you're not a doctor. So I'll trust my doctor. I'm not going to trust what you have to say about vaccines. When at the end of the day, I've easily put in 1,000 hours of research on vaccines, which, even though I'm not a doctor, puts me at about 1,000 hours more research on vaccines than most doctors, because they really don't research it, and it doesn't behoove them to, because they really do get kickbacks. Doctors get kickbacks for having a certain percentage of their patients vaccinated, and so they don't even want to know that they're bad, because that affects the bottom line for them. That affects how much
right.
money they make.
It's big business for them, and you know,
yeah.
if you listen closely to your doctor, and certainly I've gone to them, but not lately after hearing everything.
Yeah.
But you can actually, if you watch him closely, you can actually hear how he's reciting out of a book or something
mm-hmm.
he's, you know, learned. it's amazing.
This is the great thing about the internet, because you can diagnose yourself just by going online. You really can, and you're going to probably do a better job. I've been able to do a better job than my doctor when I've had problems. I've been like, okay, I think that's this, and they're like, oh, okay. Because they don't have that much time to see you, and they don't know you. They don't.
Right.
And all they're going to do is prescribe you 3 different drugs because that's what they do, and then bye, ciao. And so this is why I don't go to doctors, and I try to figure out what my problem is that I have and then find a natural remedy for it. And then also, just to tie it back into homeschool, this is also what's so great about homeschool, is that with the internet, it's like, hey, what do you want to learn about? And we watch videos about butterflies or dolphins, and we get to watch these cool videos and learn about whatever she wants to learn, which is, you know, more interesting than just making her watch something because I decided she should learn it, you know? I mean, nowadays, right, you can learn anything. Everything is at your fingertips. All the information you need is at your fingertips with an internet connection. So there's no real reason to rely blindly on doctors or teachers, you know? We can be that for ourselves.
I just wanted to ask a question about the healthcare. Is there, because you said you don't go to the doctors, is the healthcare the same as the Western medicine, the same in Brazil?
Do they
pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have health insurance here. There's a public one I went to once when I burnt my leg, and that's nice. They cleaned it up for me. I had a pot of boiling water that I spilled on my leg, and it was just really the grossest burn. And so they did a beautiful job cleaning that up for me, better than I could have if I tried to do something with essential oils, because it was gross. I didn't even want to look at it. I didn't want to touch it. So I don't have health insurance, and I can go to like a cheap clinic. But every time I go there, they'll just, 5 minutes, oh, this is what you have. Here's 3 drugs to take. And it's not really worth it, you know. And they don't even – and before I was really on board with all of this, I went to a clinic and I had, like, a real digestive issue. And I knew. I was like, it's got to be 3 different causes, but I didn't really know what my cause is. And this guy gave me just really harsh antibiotics that I took, and it made my condition worse because he didn't know what he was doing. He just prescribed me drugs, and I got sicker. I came back. I'm like, I'm sicker now. What is going on? And then I was like, I can't. What am I going to do? I went to acupuncturist, and then I was fine. It was amazing. Like, within the next day, I was like, whoa. I went back again, and then I was resolved. I was sick for a month with this digestive issue when I first moved here because, you know, I think that there's lots of little bugs and stuff here. It's common, you know, in these tropical climates, you know, people come visit and they'll have a bug, a digestive bug, and that's what happened to me. And it was really acupuncture that cured it, not the drugs. So any problem I have, I usually try to resolve it with acupuncture if I can. And at the end of the day, paying out for acupuncture is still cheaper than if I was going to pay every month for health insurance, which I hate the industry. So I don't even want to give them the money. Like, it would make me mad if I had to give them my money every month. So I don't. And worst comes to worst, I'll just go to a public hospital if I, like, my arm falls off or something. You know, like, hey, can you sew this up? Otherwise, that's – what I do like is I do go to clinics and get blood tests because just as a diagnostic tool. And that's, you know, so not to throw the baby out with the bathwater because not – everything they do is horrible. I do think that there's some good diagnostic testing you can get from a hospital. But in general,
yeah,
I don't want to go there.
Right. Yeah, I'm actually a nurse, and I'm not, I'm a nurse working surviving here, working my way out of the industry slowly but surely. And I know I have tons of remedies, for building a healthy immune system, for, you know, keeping yourself healthy. And yes, Western medicine in general definitely has its place. They do have technology that is like life-saving, like, you know, being able to fix your heart or, like you said, your arm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we don't have access to all of them. And this is what is very, very sad within the medical field. I don't know when they became the hierarchies of knowing everything that has to do within a body when they don't know themselves, because it's impossible. There's so much knowledge, you know, and there's so much that they're missing. They're very literal. They're just using, you know, one side of the information that they're getting. And it's so nice to talk with someone, and it's so nice to put it out there so that, you know, the more that we talk about it and the more that, well, you're lucky because here we have to have insurance. I mean, they mandated it.
I know, and that's so annoying. Oh, my God, that would kill me. I think it's horrible. Obamacare, it makes me mad thinking about it.
Yeah, or you go to, like, jail, or, you know, they get you if you don't take your kid to go get their fluoride treatments with it. And they offer them
now
in the doctor's offices. Like, here, do you want your kid to have the fluoride? Like, no. Well, why not? Because it's fluoride and they don't need it. You know, and it's like, since when are we offering fluoride in the pediatrician's office? Like, that's what the dentists are for. It's mm-hmm. overbearingly obvious that no one sees in the medical field that we're poisoning people. And more so that they're so arrogant and self-convinced in what they're doing because they went to school and now, you know, they passed the test with the information that somebody made them regurgitate, because most people don't know what's actually going on in the body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm here and I want to definitely speak out, or maybe write something and just about like integrative medicine, and not integrative medicine like they have, because they have it. But, I mean, listening, since when don't we listen to the patients? Since when don't we listen to our clients about what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when
apparently doctors learn how to be condescending to patients when they're talking to them, to sort of get them in and out of the office as quickly as possible. And another thing that bothers me about Western medicine is anything that's not is considered alternative, when really, like, the alternative is Western medicine, because it's, like, the newest on the scene, you know? Old school remedies and homeopathy and everything has existed longer. And so this is the new kid on the block as far as medicine goes, if you can even call it medicine. But it's really strong what language can do to sort of brainwash people, you know? Like, if you are a critical thinker and you have questions about something, you're not a critical thinker, you're a conspiracy theorist. And if you don't follow regular medicine that everyone else does, then you're like... People are really condescending to me, my family and friends. Like, oh, it's cute, you with your natural remedies, cute. It's condescending, you know. I'm like, well, keep taking those drugs for your constant nasal problems and your eye problems. Like, I have a friend who's always putting nose drops and eye drops all the time. And it's like, I'm cute because I don't do that. It's just ridiculous, but these people don't see it. It's like, you're taking drugs... And it's to help maybe put your symptoms at bay. It's not making things better. It's making them worse. You're using it more and more.
You're not
It's
not finding out the cause.
Exactly.
That's really what
you
Western
have to
medicine
sit with,
is. It's,
yeah, you have
it's
to
masking
sit with
the symptoms.
Your body's trying to tell you something. Why do I have a stomachache?
Yeah.
Okay, let me think about, what did I eat? What's happening? Why do I have a stomachache? Not just take a pill and be done with it. And even just simple... simple things that everyone has at home, like Tylenol or I'm not even remembering the names of these drugs now. They don't live there. Advil. Like, these things over time can also cause problems. Apparently, taking a lot of Advil or Tylenol, I can't remember which one it is, can decrease your empathy. So it's a strange side effect, but it's nuts, really. Like, people are so
disconnected. Well, not to mention, fevers are actually good for you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why we would be masking a fever.
Yeah, and here, it's frustrating. I have seen people here, if their kid has a tiny fever, they'll take photos and it'll be on Facebook, like, oh, here's my kid at the hospital with, like, a little bracelet on their arm, like they've been checked in. I'm like, your kid has a fever. What are you doing? Like, sit it out. Why are you making a big thing out of this? Ugh. Now your kid's, like, been
upsetting.
Tonsil of antibiotics. It is.
Yeah, it's very
yeah.
upsetting. And it's very upsetting,
upsetting
when you're part
you
of the medical field and you're handing out information and you're telling people and they're, you know, ha, 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 where did you get that from? And it's like, here's the information, like, read it. And it still goes in one ear and out the other. And I just don't even understand
mm-hmm.
how at this point they're not all being sued for not educating themselves. Like, how can we even run a business that's giving children vaccines for an antibody response when they don't have antibodies to respond with?
Yeah, but you know about the 1986 Act, from that the 1986, the bill that Reagan passed in 1986. I can't remember if it's a bill, but it's basically the only industry in the United States of America that cannot be sued is the vaccine industry, and this is something that Reagan did in 1986 because they were considered necessary, unavoidably safe, unavoidably unsafe or whatever, and so they can't be sued, and that's why you have vaccine makers doing a cholesterol vaccine, and because
you can sue the doctors and you can sue nurses for not educating themselves on what's happening in the world right now. Like, there's a lot of information, there's a lot
but
of
but as far
mothers
as vaccines
them,
can you because I don't know that
you
that's
can
possible.
Sue them personally. They took an oath to take care of people. I've taken an oath to take care of people, and I have a license that can be revoked if I'm not doing the right thing. So if they are not educating themselves, and yes, they're backed up from the government, but I mean, it's just an idea. It's a loophole that could be used for all of these innocent children that
I'm not sure how easy it is because I don't see anyone doing it.
No, it's not easy.
But I'm also, I'm curious, you know about VAERS, right? V-A-E-R-S?
Yeah.
The vaccine, so I've seen a lot of people in the U.S. talk about how a lot of nurses and stuff and doctors mentioning that people in the hospitals don't know about it. So where you work, do people in the hospital, in your hospital know, are aware of the VAERS vaccine injury reporting system?
So I'll say this. I work in drug and alcohol. I don't work in, like, the ER, and I'm not working in a pediatrician office. But I will say this. Out of all the years that I've been in the medical field, and I've asked doctors, and I'll give you an example. I asked my own pediatrician, you know, are you calling VAERS, for example, for a vaccine adverse reaction? And, of course, he said, of course I am. And then he gave me an example about it. But here's the problem. Here's what's not happening. Like, we have VAERS, but these us in the medical field, we're not being taught what an adverse reaction to a vaccine is. So when somebody comes, when a child comes into the hospital and they know what adverse reactions to vaccines are, okay? But when somebody's coming into the hospital, that is not a protocol to see if the vaccine is the reason why this child is sick.
Right.
They come in and they're ruling out the
not.
Disease. Right, they're ruling out the disease. And the only way that you're going to know if your child was vaccine injured is if it actually happens, like, right in front of the doctor. So if you get the MMR and then your child turns blue, this looks like a vaccine injury, that is when they're going to call in and they're going to call to VAERS, but they're not on the opposite side. Like, we're not trained. There's no trainings about VAERS, you know, in the hospitals.
The
I mean, maybe they're rolling them out now, and I wouldn't know because
I don't think that they are.
Drug
I
and
haven't
alcohol.
Heard of it.
No.
It sounds, it's bad.
No.
It's, there's so many instances where people don't know, and the nurses and the doctors don't ask. And a lot of times it's just considered a coincidence that there's a reaction. And
do you know who
Yvette
Ias is? I say it.
No,
have
I saw that
her?
She was on your show. No.
Yeah, she wrote a whole paper, a toxicology report. So I know you were talking with Sharon Brown, and she had a case.
Yeah.
Which, if you are privy to share some of the information, I'd love to hear about it. And I'm going to share with you her toxicology report, because if Sharon is very interested in pursuing this, she could use this toxicology report to prove in numerous ways about vaccines. And just, you know, she has the history to them. She has links. You can fact check her and all this. And I'll send the paper to you. And you know, maybe that's something that you guys can discuss.
I mean, Sharon, unfortunately, she's dropped it, and it was, it was really amazing that she took this up in the first place. And I think if anyone out there in whatever state you're in is wanting to fight mandatory vaccines, then get into contact with me and I can hopefully put you in contact with Sharon and she can share her experiences. But there's a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and a ton of money involved in trying to strike down the unconstitutional SB 277 mandatory vaccine law in California. And then at the end of the day, it didn't work. And it was really hard and for a lot of reasons. And it's really unfortunate. And I just, there's so many intricacies with that as well. You know, you have to get the right judge, who's the prosecuting attorney, whatever. It's, and there's all this legalese and there was how things are worded, and it's unfortunate. And the thing got really far. The case got really far, but at the end of the day, it lost. And that was a sad time for a lot of us, and I was really rooting for it to happen. Because you see it in, I can't remember if it's Mississippi or Missouri, because I get those states confused. I think it's Mississippi, though. Like, the state, the only state before this law took effect that had mandatory vaccines had, like, the sickest kids. Mm-hmm. And these pro-vaxxers are so, like, with, they just parrot their talking points. Like, oh, but causation doesn't equal correlation. It's like, you have to look at that. That's very scientific. You have to scientifically look at that and go, what's going on in this state that you have the sickest kids and they're also the most vaccinated? You can't just be an idiot about it, but there's really been such a number to demonize people who don't vaccinate, you know, to really just shut them up. And it's sad because I see friends of mine who I consider to be smart people and educated who are like, think I'm a nutter for not wanting to vaccinate my kid. When at the end of the day, vaccines are full of known neurotoxins, you know, like they're only full of garbage. I mean, all of it. You're putting aborted fetal cell tissue into your children, the DNA of aborted babies. Often of and this is another interesting thing that's come up, is that an unusually large percentage of trans kids, you know, these new, the kids who are now non-binary and want to get sex changes, a fairly large percentage of them are autistic. So, and it makes sense. You are having these vaccines with the DNA of kids of the other gender. I mean, there's a lot of factors to it as well, because they're really pushing the trans agenda right now. They're really pushing that on kids to be non-binary. But there's also this physical aspect to it where it can't be good. That can't be healthy. And I don't even need to be a doctor nor a scientist to sort of figure out that known neurotoxins and aborted fetal cell tissue injected into my kid can't be a good idea. Yet, like, I'm the netter. Okay, then.
So we're
it's common sense has just gone out the window. It's so sad.
Did we have any other callers that had any questions?
Nope.
Hi, this is Val. Thanks for the show, Mary and Sandy. It's great information for Kitty. Just a question, a quick question about what have, during this process of homeschooling, what have the kids actually taught you in the process? Just curious, because that's what we're getting at here, is that the kids have so much to teach us as adults, and I wondered your experience with that.
That's a good question, because that's also what all teachers say, is that they learn from teaching. I guess one thing has always been something as being a parent, is to just trust the process and that she's going to learn all the things and do all the things in the time that she needs, and not to be so worried about her, you know, reading and writing at a higher grade level. Just to have her, you know, my own, how do I want to say this, but just to not rush her in her own thing, to let her go at her own pace. And and to see her really develop her art, which has been amazing. And so much of it has been to trust the process, but also to really pay attention and see, like, okay, where do I need to give a little bit more help? Where do I see that this could be helpful? And it's just little things, you know, like speaking up louder so people can understand her when she speaks, to project her voice, to look at people when she's talking to them. And I'm really, and it's also made me so proud of her as a kid, like just be able to have this gift to spend this much time with her. It's been such a gift, really. Like, I love my kids so much, and I'm so glad that I get to spend this much time with her and to be here to witness the process, because I think it's a bit sad to sort of drop your kid off. Oh, did you hear that? That was a kiss. She gave me a kiss.
I love you.
Because then when you think about it, it is really sad that you just drop your kid off at some school and have some other person teach your kid, you know? When she was at Waldorf school, I taught my kid because I'm worked in restaurants for ages. And so when you sneeze into the crook of your elbow. And that's more sanitary than to sneeze into your hands, because you're touching food and you just have germs on your hands. And it was just dumb things with teachers sometimes. She did that, and her teacher's like, no, you have to sneeze in your hands. And I'm like, there's not even hot water in the sinks in Brazil here. Like, you're not ever going to wash your hands that well. Like, don't do that. And why am I having a fight with her teacher through my kid about something as simple as hand washing? So that's also been great to avoid that. But in general, what she's teaching me is just, I guess, how much I love her and to really just be present for her. For her as she develops. And also, Mary, it does remind me of you asking, like, about seeing, as far as, like, the silica and the other things that I've done, I think to help her out, you know, along the way with everything, it's so hard to tell with kids because they're going to grow up and evolve anyway. So it's really hard to sort of put your finger on something and be like, oh, look, see how things are better? That's because of this one treatment I did. So just to sort of come back to that question, because it reminded me of it.
One of the things I'm going to go back to, was that Val? Did you want to say something?
No, just to finish up. Thank you. That's really a
thank you.
Good insight and really a nice way of explaining what the process is and what goes on and the little things that you just have to, like, give them a little directional, little pointing out here and there, but basically they know what to do, and you're just you're there with them, spending time with them, and it's a wonderful experience for both of you. It's just great way to
explain
it.
Yeah, they're going to grow up and be who they are anyways, and we're here to help guide them, but not to really force them. There's not going to be any joy in learning when you force people to learn. They'll learn the things they want. I mean, I do force her with the math a little bit, I'm not going to lie, but it's not like a daily thing. And, you know, and math sucks, but you need to have some basic skills for sure.
True. It really shows that you love your children or your daughter.
I do.
And I just wanted to come in on one other thing. When I had moved to Hawaii many, many years ago, and I took my two children with me, well, within a week, my son, even though we ate good and everything from the farm, he ended up getting diabetes. And so I knew something was wrong with him, and I took him in, and they said, oh, my gosh, he's got diabetes, so we're going to have to hospitalize him and all of this. Okay, so I started looking around town, and I found a Japanese naturopath, and I was very fortunate to find him. It was Dr. Robert Oshiro, and I called him, and he said, well, I have to work with your doctor in the hospital if I'm going to work with you and your son. And I said, fine, I'll ask Dr. Yoshimoto was his name, and Dr. Yoshimoto, thankfully, was very open to treating my son. And they worked, the two doctors worked together, which is unheard of nowadays. Mm-hmm. And doctor, with the insulin and everything, we got my son off of insulin with Dr. Robert
Great.
Oshiro's acupuncture and Japanese herbs and his herbal elixirs. We got him off of insulin in 2 weeks,
wow.
which is kind of unheard of. So it's
Great.
Out there, and there are things that we can do that do not entail the medical profession. I know my ex-husband worked for a major, major drug company. He was a nuclear chemist, and he said they don't really test drugs very well. A lot of those results that you're seeing are, of course, from the animals and the rats and sick rats to begin with, and they figure if it works on them, it's just going to work on people, so it's never really tested well, and they don't care. It's big business. They see.
They don't care.
Right, the bottom line for them, and pharmacists get a cut. They start at over $100,000 a year, and then the doctor gets a cut, so, and the all these things or these medicines that you see advertised on TV, pretty soon, a few months later, all of a sudden there's lawsuits. Well, if you got gangrene, you had your, you know, your feet chopped off, call us. You know, there's a lawsuit.
And they don't care because it's still cheaper to pay out.
Exactly.
Than to not have the drug on the market after everything they've done. It's
right.
And it's so bad in the U.S. When I was there, my grandma was sick, and I was at the old people home, and the TV was on. It was just nonstop commercials for drugs, stupid drugs. I couldn't even believe it because I've been living here for so long. There was a drug. I mean, you guys probably know this drug because you live there, but a drug for, like, if your mouth is dry. I'm like, are you kidding me? And it was like, and, like, with all these drug commercials, like, is your mouth dry? And then take this drug, and then side effects are, and it's just like this laundry list of horrible side effects are much worse than just having a dry mouth, right?
And
diarrhea
and
suicidal thoughts or whatever it is, and you're like, why not just drink some water? I don't really understand, like, why would you take a drug for dry mouth? But they're putting the seed out there that you think that you need it. When my grandmother died, she died at 94 years old. She was on 8 different drugs. They
sure.
took her off all the drugs thinking, all those drugs shut down her organs. And they're like, she's going to die. And I took the first plane I could from Brazil there to see her because she's dying. And they're like, she's got 2 weeks. She's going to die. She's not on the drugs anymore. She's in hospice care. And I get there, and she's the most lucid she'd been in ages. But the problem is that those drugs had shut down her organs for a second, and she couldn't walk anymore.
Uh-huh.
And so... so here she is lucid because she's not on the drugs, and everyone's surprised. Like, we didn't know. We thought she'd die. It's so crazy that she's actually doing better. So then what they do, I go back to the U.S. I mean, I go back to Brazil, and I'm calling her, and I call her, and she answers the phone. She's like, I'm dying. And I couldn't believe what the hell was going on. And my mom's
yeah.
like, yeah. Well, since she's not dying, they put her back on all the drugs. So they did this to her. They put her back
Absolutely.
On all those
and
drugs because she wasn't dying. And they don't even, and it doesn't occur to anyone, like, oh, no, she can't talk anymore. Maybe we shouldn't
yeah.
have her on these drugs.
Yeah, and
it didn't
and
even
they,
occur to my mom or my sister. They're just like, yeah, she's back on the drugs. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Well, they, you know, it costs money for them to keep her or anybody alive. And so
yeah.
they just kind of push everything and... pretty
exactly
soon, the patient has died, and they bring in a new one, you know, and they do the same thing. It's ridiculous. And I mean, when I was in college, I was in the eye doctor's. You know, I wore glasses, so I needed a checkup. Well, this woman starts having trouble breathing. And so in the waiting room, and I go alert the nurse, I said, you better come right away. This person isn't breathing right.
Mm-hmm.
You need to call 911. You know, I was really gung-ho at that point. And She helped the person into a back room and laid her on a bed. And I said, have you called anybody? Do I need to wait outside or anything? The nurse says to me, oh, no. She says, she's dying anyway. We're just going to leave her be.
What?
Yeah.
How old was this woman?
This
she
woman
was
probably 60, 65.
Oh, my God. No, not that old.
Ancient, you know. Oh, no, she's dying anyway. We're not going to do anything.
Oh.
I mean, what kind of mentality is that?
This all ties into homeschool. When you raise kids who are critical thinkers and are have to think for themselves and not just follow, do you know, this is, it just seems so idiotic to me that someone wouldn't even question that, but this is the sort of state of things right now.
Yeah.
Just follow orders.
Yeah, and this is what we do, and this is the protocol, so. And this is what makes us money,
yeah.
So let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all for homeschooling. I think it's fabulous.
It's been so helpful with the internet. There's just, and you can learn anything you want on the internet. I taught myself how to crochet. I mean, anything. So it's so amazing. I feel like I have an extra tool in the toolbox.
Yeah, well,
but
we might
as
well
use. But it's also, this is the way it used to be. I mean, people used to just homeschool their kids. You know?
Yeah, in the days gone by, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, what's been really fun, what I recommend, is we had been reading Little House on the Prairie books, and so it's great to a historical perspective of the homesteading of the U.S. that wasn't that long ago.
Right.
I think Laura Ingalls Wilder died in, like, the 70s, I think. I don't remember. So
yeah,
it's still pretty relatively recent history, but really interesting, and, you know, homesteading is amazing, and even though we don't do it, it's interesting to read about it, and that's how they learned, you know, and they helped out too. They helped out around the house.
I definitely had chores. You know,
I did too, for sure. But I don't know about kids these days.
They sit in front of the TV, or they work their phones, or smartphones, or their games, their video games, and they hardly even look up at you if you're talking to them.
Yeah,
you
my
know.
Kid, she has friends who are like that with tablets and smartphones. 9 years old. No.
This is ridiculous.
I mean, not even Silicon Valley. Those executives don't let their kids do that. And it kills creativity. I think that my kid is such a creative person because she's not numbing her mind with tablet and TV and an iPhone, you know. She has to entertain herself in other ways. She still plays with dolls, and I love it. She's
well, that's
also a cancer.
Even good for her. I think it's great that you go according to your child's interests and promote that. In other words, she bakes, she does
totally.
Music, does a lot of things that she's going to be, and that makes sense. To gear it to your child's interest and not
yeah,
work
and
against.
Yeah, and also, I think it's so natural, like, as a female thing. Like, I mean, she likes to climb trees and stuff, but, like, she wants to bake, and she's got these homemaker things that she wants to do, you know? Like, when I do a sewing project, she's there, and she watches how I do it. And soon enough, I'll teach her how to sew as well. She's done a little bit of hand sewing.
That's great. I mean, I was working my grandmother's sewing machine and making doll clothes when I was like 7. She let me do
great.
It.
Yeah.
And you learn so much.
Yeah.
Much more than a school can ever teach you.
I think so, and kind of more fun.
I think we have another caller here that has a question for you, Miss Kitty.
Okay.
Hi,
Kitty.
See
the number
there.
Henry.
Oh, there we go. This is Henry
Hi.
Here. I was wondering
Henry.
If your daughter. I was wondering if your daughter is there now, like I'm with you.
She is.
Do you think I could ask her a question?
Sure. Let me see if she. She gets a little bit embarrassed to speak English because we live in Brazil, so it's her second language. Okay, hold on one second. Somebody wants to ask you a question, okay? You okay to answer?
Okay. Hello?
Hi there. What's your name?
Tallulah.
Hi, Tallulah. I was wondering if you could share with us, like, a comparison of when you were going to the Waldorf school and to now where you're at home with your mom and then unschooling, you know, like, you could share, you know, something that you've learned that you wouldn't have learned maybe if you're at the Waldorf school.
What you said again?
Here, what was your question, maybe? She asked you to repeat the question.
What have you learned being unschooling with your mom, like with the natural environment maybe, that you haven't learned, that you wouldn't have learned at the Waldorf school?
Okay. Hey, Tallulah, what do you think you've learned from homeschooling, being here with me, that maybe that you wouldn't have learned at Casa de Mata?
Math.
She said math.
They don't learn math.
Because they didn't learn math at school.
Yeah.
Also reading, right?
Yeah. Reading.
Yeah. Because also at Waldorf, they really they wait to teach the kids these things. And then also what happened at her Waldorf school is that I put her in first grade 2 years in a row because the school went up to fifth grade when we entered, and then they had financial problems, and it was only going to go up to first grade, which meant that she could repeat first grade again or go to the public school or go to this expensive school they didn't like. And so I was on the fence, and I was like, okay, I'll just have her do the first grade over again. So in that respect, she didn't learn. She did first grade twice, and she got a nice strong basis in letters. And they taught her things I couldn't teach her, like about plants and stuff. She already knows more about plants than I do, which is embarrassing. I'm from the city. I'm giving her the sort of upbringing I never had, because I did grow up in front of a TV. I'm from Oakland, California. I didn't spend a lot of time outdoors, and I don't know anything about plants and stuff. And it's amazing. She's like, oh, look, that's this tree. And I'm like, oh, is it? Dad, I didn't know. So that's what's nice that she learned from Waldorf. But and she learned knitting from there as well. But
can Tula tell us a friend story about being at home with you? Tula, could you tell us a story about being at home with your mom, something fun that you guys do and that you like to do together?
I have a record player, and sometimes we play music and we dance together. she's a really funny kid, and sometimes we make jokes about farting and stuff. I'm like, swear to God, I'm like so infantile sometimes, because it's like we will really crack up over really silly, disgusting things like that, you know.
Well,
yeah.
I think that's your prerogative. It's fun to play or to act with a child's point of view. I know my cousins lived next door, my first cousins. They were two boys, and we were always together, and so they were consequently always eating at my grandmother's house, but one of our jobs was to do the dishes. I washed, and Tom and Jack dried, and this goes to the farting bowl. My cousin Jack can fart jingle bells, and my grandmother would come out, and she goes, what are you guys up to? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
My kid, she can burp on command. I can't.
Yeah. It's
so,
a talent. So.
I know it is. See, look, she's going to... Are you going to do it? She's doing it right now.
Right.
Yeah. She's really kind of gross, but it's like, that's my kid. I love her. Yeah.
Yeah, this has been such a wonderful conversation. I'm so thankful you had made your vaccine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm so happy that you made your vaccine abolitionist
website so that we had the opportunity to discuss everything that you've been through. I thank you so much for coming on and facing the world. It's not easy to tell the truth, and, you know, it's not easy to face our friends or our family or their world.
Yeah.
But we all have the choice to do so. We can all pay attention a lot more. You know, we don't leave here with money. We don't leave here with anything but our awareness. So it's wonderful that whatever your child is into and wants to do, you're more equipped to give them everything in the world. And maybe she'll make a ton of money and take you guys out to all sorts of fancy restaurants if that's what she chooses. Yeah, but, you know, either way, she has her freedom of choice because that's what you're giving her there. And you're protecting her from being harmed. And, you know, it will teach her a lot in the world. I didn't know if there's anything else that, you know, you wanted the world to know about yourself or about any information before we close up here today.
No, I think we've talked about so much. I just want to thank you for the opportunity. This is the first time I've been asked to be interviewed. It's nice. Thank you. And as far as the truth goes, yeah, I mean, the more you have to tell the truth about where you stand with these things, the easier it gets. And it is really hard to sort of speak out about these things because the general public wants you to vaccinate your kid and they want you to follow the rules that have been set in stone, you know, and so it's hard to break out of that, but it's really worthwhile, and I really suggest, you know, trying as hard as you can to do it, you know. Don't speak up, you know, even if it's scary to do so, because we're not going to get anywhere if everyone just stays silent, you know?
Yeah, we're here. We wonderful worldwide educators are here sharing the new sound with people on all life levels. There's more that is unseen. There's more than just this physical existence, this literalized existence that we have here. There are real universes outside of the worlds of creation. If you sing the new you with your children before they go to bed and you really listen to what it is that they're doing and ask questions on who they're with and where they're going, they're already connected. They can see more than we ever could. And I'm just going to – and they're the future, and they can you know, this world's upside down. Maybe if we allow the kids to think more and you know, work with the world and less pollution, we could have a better place to live if we pay attention. And with that said, I'm just going to close this up with an excerpt from Dwayne the Great Writer. Ancient Homeschooling by Dwayne the Great Writer. Before there were indoctrinated educational systems, there were those who survived with everything that came naturally with this planet Earth. If we are to use the idea of reason as a way to explain why we all are here, then it's because a simple way to communicate why we are here. The whole of life, that which is unseen and unknown to most, already is what it is. And if one way has decided that all of us need creation, which is a simulation of a real life compared to what is, so that each of us can become aware of what the whole of life is. Of course, what is needed is the real knowledge of the all is. As the ancients raised their children, they would teach the children to watch and remember their dreams. With the ancients, the idea of a person's nightly experiences with the personal body asleep was not known as dreams at the time, but more so the other worlds that were to be known and explored. Since those days, the agreeable masses have submitted themselves to a one-dimensional order of world controllers to be ruled by, and a person's dreams are not widely referred to and are mostly forgotten. Your dream visions is a new doorway and a real opportunity to see and be more than just a struggling person on this planet. The ancients, as I will refer to them, knew that each new childbirth came into the physical world, they would bring something with them from the worlds beyond to better survive and to also prepare themselves to go into the other worlds as their life came to an end here. What they could see at the time did make sense with how this world was. When parents have a real awareness about themselves, they will refer to the real side life is, as a real relationship to better understand the whole of life and what I term as the real universes of real freedom. When parents take the time to listen to their children with what they experience from the other world, which is their dream, they will begin to see so much more than all their created restrictions here. Today, the children are taught to be literalized and subliminally controlled by the political persuaders, spiritualized religions, indoctrinated education, scientific inventions, and even psychic phenomenon and cyberspace. Everything has a usefulness when properly understood, as nothing is negated, but not what has been marketed to the unaware masses as something beneficial. When most of what we are experiencing here is leading everything into a planned demise, children have real experiences and new knowledge that the parents and other adults do not have. Take time to see and listen to what life is showing you, as the whole of life and far more than just creation always makes sense. I'm Mary. I'm a new mom, a new student. I'm working with the wonderful Worldwide Educators. Thank you, Sandy Staling, president of a new homeschool, Val, dean of new homeschool. Thank you, Dwayne, for all your new books and your writings and for being here. And Kelsey Lynn Brown, she is everywhere. She's here today, spreading her awareness and her news. Please introduce yourself, Kelsey.
Hi.
Thank you, Mary.
Yes, thank you, Mary.
Obrigada.
Thank you, yeah, I just wanted to mention one thing because we're expressing the real side here, and that's what people refer to as dreams, and we're all having them every night. It's just most people aren't recognizing them. And like Mary brought up with two of her children having the experiences of the sickness on the real side, and it was showing up in the child's feet. Well, you know, the doctors of today, they only see one-dimensionally, and we know they only see the symptoms and they don't look at the causes. And we actually have these other bodies that we're operating in the other world that can cause the sicknesses here. And a lot of times it does come from the emotional body, this astral body, that it's like anger. Many people have heard of these things that will eventually cause a stress in the heart or different blood vessels even. There's many different ways to look at it, but you can see this for yourself if you have anything going on in your life, and if it's the health aspect, you can just pay attention to your dreams. And with this new sound that we're presenting, it will actually open up your dreams so that you can remember more. And a friend of ours, they had a certain ailment, and they were going to the doctor, but the doctor, they couldn't figure out what was going on. And it's because it was actually something in their causal body, which is where your past lives and the Akashic records and things were stored. So it was something from a past life that was affecting their physical body here now. And they were able to see that from talking to a seer who could look at their real side. So there's a lot to explore for all of us and to pay attention to, like mm-hmm. the ancients did. They paid attention to their dreams, and, you know, you can even be shown to eat more oranges or bananas or whatever it is. It might be raining bananas in your dreams, and that's what's really fun about listening to the kids is they have all these awesome experiences in other worlds, and they're flying in their dreams, and a lot of us did that when we were kids, and they're going in castles, and they're learning, they're talking to animals, and they can just share so much with us that we have shut ourselves off to, and the new you will open anybody up to that, adults, parents, seniors, everyone. So, yeah, thanks everybody for coming on today. And if you would like to learn more about what we're doing in the new you, new sound, then you can go to wonderfulworldwideeducators.com. There are books on the website you can purchase that have references to what we're talking about here. And you can go to my YouTube channel, which is Kelsey Lynn Brown. And you can listen to the New Year New Song so you can sing it yourself or with your children and just learn more about that. And we also have a few new websites, and one of them is cure.club, so it's cuure.club, and that's where you use your real awareness and just listen to the children to see what we're not seeing and see what they can bring out to share with us. You can also go to newhomeschool.club. It's nuhomeschool.club. you don't have to be homeschooling, but if you would like to make the transition, or if you just see that listening to the children does make sense, then you can check out newhomeschool.club. There's some children dream courses there that are mainly for the parents, and there's also some fun kid books about the other worlds and exploring the other worlds. So thanks, everybody, and be sure to share this recording. You can upload it anywhere you like or use it for your own purposes. This recording that is on blogtalkradio.com/HealthyLimbrown.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Have fun, everybody.
Thank you.